Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's at the intersection of faith and climate change? Let's go in-depth with Matt Russell with Iowa Interfaith Power and Light. Matt, you've got a couple of jobs, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You farm. Your farm is in on the border of Warren County and Marion County. Yep. Address is Milo, right?
Address is Warren County. School district is Melcher Dallas. Or address is Lacona. School district's Melcher Dallas.
Okay.
And then we had kids at Pleasantville. So we're in the middle of nowhere, kind of the center of everything.
Pretty crazy. Well, that's what happens when you live in a rural area. You might be in one school district, another post office. It's just, yeah.
Yep.
That's the way it works. Everybody knows that here.
Yeah.
Well, and you're also, what, executive director of Interfaith Power and Light?
Yep, Iowa Interfaith Power and Light. We're an Iowa affiliate of the national movement of Interfaith Power and Light, and that's the communities of faith working together to find faith-based solutions to climate change.
Faith-based solutions to climate change.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about that. What's the relation between faith and climate change?
I'll try to do my elevator pitch, right? If we look historically, great transformations have happened in individual places. So the Industrial Revolution happened in different places, and then it grew out from that. Where we're at right now with our economy and our energy and the way we live on this planet is that we're in this moment of great transformation, and it's not happening in one place or a couple of places. It's happening to all of us across the globe all at once. And we're transitioning from a fossil fuel economy to a new economy that changes almost everything, but what it doesn't change is, like, we're not all going back to making our own clothes and growing our own food and living in an austere world, but it's changing into, so instead of fossil fuels, it's this new way of doing energy, new way of living together that's really about hope and abundance. And that's the connection. Across the faiths, we believe in a God or a creator or a divine entity that promises hope and abundance if we live well together. If we follow the values of our faiths and work with nature, there's a promise of abundance. And we're really on the edge of transitioning into a different way of living together. That is very hopeful if we can respond to that. We have all the science, the technology, everything we need. The International Governmental Panel on Climate Change that did the report last month said, we've got it all. We don't have to create anything. We're not missing anything, but we have to use it all, and we have to do it really fast in the next 10 years. And as people of faith, this is our wheelhouse. This is our time to be a voice in the wilderness to say, it's time, and we're ready. And we need our leaders and our businesses to step into this and help us fix it.
But you have to accept the science behind it, and there's a lot of people of faith that don't.
There are, I think we're really at a moment where we're seeing a lot more movement into an acceptance of the science and into people ready to act. If you read kind of the media, and obviously if you read, you know, the election and kind of the politics, that would kind of make you think that we're not moving. But when you talk to people on the street and you have private conversations, and you have bigger conversations in church basements and things, there's a lot less skepticism out there than conventional wisdom kind of paints. We're doing our religious leader statement. So every year for, I think this is the sixth or seventh year, that we've organized an Iowa religious leader statement on climate change. And we've seen a more than 50% increase in religious leaders signing on. Central College has signed on as a religious college, and Loras College in Dubuque has signed on. I think next year, you're going to see almost all of the religious colleges and universities in the state signing on to this. That's the kind of momentum that's happening. I'm really confident that the skeptics are going to be getting smaller and smaller, and they're going to be kind of outliers. And those of us of faith who are ready to work with nature and draw on our faith traditions and work together across denominations and across the political divide, I think this is, climate change, ironically, is this opportunity. Everyone says, oh, we got to find ways to work together. We've got to find ways to work together and get out of politics. I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see climate change being one of those places where people are coming together and really finding solutions to respond to this and move into a world that is where everybody can live better.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about faith and climate change with Matt Russell with Iowa Interfaith Power and Light. You have some local, other local partners too, don't you?
Yeah, there's groups kind of around the state. Indianola has the Indianola Green Team is a group of churches that people have come together to kind of put their faith into action locally to find some solutions and do some outreach. So they've been a great partner. We have a local chapter in Pella from several congregations there and a lot of folks from Central College. So Creation Care of Pella is a local chapter of Iowa IPL. Central College students helped us with our appeal letter this year. We had students writing a personal statement. Why is faith important to you in finding solutions to climate change? So we're seeing a lot of momentum. This is not, if you just look at the politics and you just look at some of the stuff in the media, you would think that we're stuck. And to be honest, there are really powerful economic interests that want to keep us stuck because to move is to threaten their business. I understand that. That's how transformations happen. When you go through a transformation, there are going to be disruptions, and for some entities, that disruption is almost an existential threat. And if you're a fossil fuel company, this transformation is a pretty serious threat. So if you can slow it down, that's in your interest, and I think that's what we've seen. I think we're seeing acceleration.
And if you're a smart company, you should just get on board and invest. I mean, I was reading yesterday, I think, that Ford is really investing in scooters, right? I mean, why not? They're seeing the future of urban transportation, right, and they think scooters are a part of it. I think that's really cool, and that's farsighted.
So that's an excellent example. When you look at car companies, and you look at this, you know, the current administration's clean car standards, and they're trying to roll those back. You know, the car companies weren't really asking for that. Now, behind the scenes, who knows? Maybe they were wanting to get a couple more years out of SUV sales. But you're right. They're thinking strategically. They're looking ahead. I mean, even some of the big agribusiness companies. I mean, Monsanto, which is now merged with Bayer. And so I guess Monsanto isn't going to exist anymore. But several years ago, I mean, they bought a huge technology company that does all weather analysis on a global scale. So even agribusiness knows where things are headed. And so while they're trying to kind of hold on to where we're at right now, they're also investing into a future that they know where things are going. And they're trying to figure out how to hold on to their investments currently, but to position themselves moving forward. But the disruption is going to be really challenging. And agriculture is a great example. Iowa farmers are amazing, you know, business owners and innovators. And you know, many of them have deep faith. So this disruption, it's going to transform Iowa agriculture, but it's also a transformation that has a lot of opportunities. And so we're working with farmers trying to get them talking to each other about what are the opportunities. If we can sequester carbon, capture carbon on our farms in Iowa better than any place on the planet, and that's maybe a little bit debatable, but I would say it's close to a fact that with our soils and our agricultural infrastructure and that we still have a diversity of farmers who are independent and can innovate and don't just have to follow a prescription from somebody else, but they can still innovate in their shops and on their in their fields. We really have an opportunity to lead the world in developing agricultural systems that capture carbon. So we're working with farmers to try to help them talk to each other and lean on their faith to see what are the opportunities in this transformation. How can Iowa agriculture lead?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about faith and climate change with Matt Russell with Iowa Interfaith Power and Light. Pretty interesting. We're talking about different companies leading and making these economic investments, but that's not a cultural or social phenomenon. That's where the faith comes in to make it a not just an economic, a business thing. It has to become a cultural, faith-based thing in right. part.
I think you're spot on, because people, a lot of times, the media, the strategists, they look at it and they say, oh, here are the economics, and this is, you know, people are making these decisions. But we're both social scientists as well, and people really move around values. Values are what move people into action. And so I think the message to farmers for a long time about climate change has not been, if there's a value, the value that's been lifted up is that you're going to get regulated. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. And I think it's just the opposite. Climate change is the opportunities for farmers to really make independent decisions, to really get out there in their field and innovate, to use precision agriculture, and really manage their farm on a whole farm basis. If the farmers can step into a leadership position and start to define the problem, define the solution, and then create the public policy framework to incentivize innovation, this is a real opportunity for farmers to it's a little bit like the horse and the tractor. That's the kind of transformation. And if you want to just keep doing farming like you're doing farming in Iowa, and what I mean is not that we're going to get rid of corn and soybeans. That's going to be a big part of our future. But it's a little bit like the tractor and the horse. We're at that moment where farmers either kind of keep doing what they're doing, and that's the horse, or they make an investment in the tractor and innovate around what the world's asking for, which is capturing carbon. There's the monetization of carbon is that horse is out the barn. We are going to monetize carbon. There's going to be incentives built in. So it's up to farmers to figure out how they want to farm in this state to be able to deliver not only corn and soybeans and livestock, which we're going to keep doing. And in fact, in the new, as we move into this new transformation of how we do energy, we're probably going to be able to produce at least as much, if not more, of what we produce. We'll have to change it up a little bit, but this isn't about pulling back production. It's about changing production and adding another piece to our farms, which is climate services or environmental services.
This is airing on Tuesday, and tomorrow on Wednesday you have an event. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we're releasing our religious leader statement on Wednesday in Des Moines at Capitol Hill Lutheran Church in the East Village at 11:30. That's a public interfaith prayer event, and we're calling it We Can No Longer Wait, Interfaith Prayer Service for Climate Action. And we have well over 200 religious leaders from all parts of the state, several judicatory heads, so like the Catholic Diocese of Des Moines, the Southeast Iowa Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Episcopals, the Methodists, the United Church of Christ, the judicatory heads, and then hundreds of individual clergy. We have the president of Central College, the president of Loras College, signed on endorsing the statement. And we're going to release that not at a press conference, but a interfaith prayer service. So we'll be reading and praying through the statement, and it will be a press event. So it'll be public, and we'll be doing a interfaith prayer / press event to let all Iowans know we can no longer wait. We need to implement faith-based solutions to climate change.
Now tell us where and when again.
That's at Capitol Hill Lutheran Church, and that's at 511 Des Moines Street in the East Village, and it's at 11:30 on Wednesday.
This has the potential to be something really significant. That's quite an effort. All these people coming together, and then they're going to release this statement, and I presume there's going to be, you're going to build solidarity and passion, and everybody's going to get really excited about it and spread the message.
So our organization, for a long time, we've been really talking to people about personal responsibility. How do I change my home? How do I change my light bulbs? How do I drive less? How do I use energy in a more efficient way? But really where we need to be now is moving into systems change. So how do we change our community? How do we change our state? And our key issues are renewable energy, which Iowa is a leader. Energy efficiency. Iowa has been a leader, but last legislative session, we gutted our energy efficiency programs. So we took a huge step backwards. And regenerative agriculture. These are things that Iowa has led on in the past and can really lead in the future. So while this is a global crisis that is affecting everybody in the world, we all have our special role. And for Iowa, we have this unique opportunity to really lead not just the state, but the country and the whole world in solving these problems. So as people of faith, as we are reflective, what's God calling me to do? I think that's where you're seeing the momentum, is people are realizing that we can no longer wait. We have to start acting now. And we can't just change our light bulbs, but we have to work through policy so that we create the structure, the system. You know, individuals didn't cause climate change. Big systems. This is a reaction to big systemic ways in which we live on this planet. And so the fix is going to be systemic. But that doesn't have to be scary. That doesn't have to be frightening. If we draw on our faith, it really is an opportunity to live out the values of caring for creation, caring for our brothers and sisters, finding ways to live equitably, making sure that everybody has an education, everybody has health care. The new energy economy, there is the promise. Because in a fossil fuel economy, you either have fossil fuel or you don't, and it's a model of scarcity. The future of renewable energy is abundance. Nobody's going to monopolize the sun. Nobody's going to monopolize the wind and the tides and the other ways in which we're going to create energy through nature. So we're really moving into a future of abundance, and that's why we should be excited about this as people of faith, not frightened by it or scared of the change.
Thanks to Matt Russell for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.